This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have to have a talk about them using our values against us as it pertains to the border and other things. We'll do that tonight. Senator Rand Paul is here. There are some bills coming we need to talk about. Lee Smith, Brianna Morello, packed tonight on I'm Right. Let's have a chat about what the communists are doing now that they've lost power. And so, you know, let's use the border as a perfect example of what I'm about to talk about. Remember how many times we've discussed the communist uses your values against you? Because he doesn't have any values. His only value is the revolution. It gives him freedom to use whatever values you have against you. So I'll come back to that in a moment. Just put that in your back pocket. Let's talk about the border really quickly. During Thanksgiving week, we found 100 unaccompanied minors down on the border. 4-year-old girl found with a piece of paper that has a phone number on it. What Democrats did at the border on purpose is a deep, deep evil. It is. We're not talking about disagreements here on, well, how many should we allow in? I'm not sure. Should we give an extra bottle of water? Let's have a haggle. No. We're not having these normal arguments. Democrats got elected 4 years ago, and they threw open the doors of this country and facilitated, in fact, used your money to pay for, in many cases, the largest slave trade in the history of mankind. That's what the southern border is. That's what they've done by the numbers. Just based on numbers alone, it's really not even debatable. Democrats facilitated and funded with your money the largest slave trade in human history. Sex trafficking of children, drug, it's just abominable what they've done, not only to them, to us as a nation, and they did it on purpose. On purpose. It's why, remember the fit they pitched when Donald Trump was finally starting to put these people where they should be in camps and things like that as we processed them out? Remember the pitch? Remember the fit they pitched?
When we have children being housed in cages crying for their mommies and daddies, we know we are better than this.
Your administration owns locking up children. But if kids in cages is too much for you to defend, there is one option. You could resign.
People aren't talking about the goddamn emails. They're not. They're talking about kids separated from their mom and their dad sitting in cages on our southern border.
They watch in horror as children are torn from their families and thrown into cages.
You know, he rips at families. He rips them apart at our borders. He puts children in cages.
Of course, they don't care about the kids and they weren't worried about separation. They knew they could use your values against you to stop Donald Trump from stopping them. And then they got elected and they filled up this country with rapists and murderers on purpose. I need to stress this before we get to this next point. They did what they did to this country on purpose. They used things like refugee resettlement programs to take your money and fly illegals in. Many of them didn't even have to cross the border. They just went down and got them, put them on a plane with your money. Lake and Riley, bludgeoned to death by some scumbag who flew from New York to Georgia with your money, and Democrats did it on purpose. And this is actually not a border rant. This is not. This is a different kind of a rant about something that's happening right now. I see it everywhere. Back to what we talked about in the beginning. your values, them using your values against you. What do you want in this society? What do you want for this society? Well, you want to live at peace, don't you? You want to have a good, safe, clean society. Of course, you want all those things, but don't you want to be at peace? I want to be at peace. No one wants to fight all the time, argue all the time, all this. Don't you just want to kind of live at peace with your fellow man? You want the fighting to stop. That's a very natural inclination. I just want everything to calm down. I want the fighting to stop. Well, the communists understand that about you. Do keep in mind, and you better keep this in mind, they do not share that value at all. They have no desire, not even that much, to stop the fighting, to calm things down, to live at peace. They're fighting a revolution. They are fighting a revolution. They intend to burn it all down. But they understand that's your values, right? Don't you just want to be nice? Hey, let's get along. Let's live at peace. And so remember that border talk we just had. Democrats are out there saying things like this now. This is an anonymous Democrat senator who said this to The Hill. Quote, "We utterly mismanaged that issue, including our Democrat caucus here." Talking about the immigration issue, but that, forget about all the specifics. We mismanaged the issue. This is what you're going to see a ton of now, and it's going to go way beyond the border. This is going to be person after person, issue after issue. The evil demons who've done so much wrong over the last 4 years are now, because we've won and we have the power, and they know you want to live at peace and I want to be at peace and we all want to be at peace. They're going to use that against you and do the, hey, okay, it was kind of a mistake at the border. Whoops, did I have a bottle of water here? Oh, I accidentally tipped it over. It's a mistake. Hey, don't be mad at me. We mismanaged it. We zigged. We meant to zag. It was just kind of a big misunderstanding. Mark Zuckerberg spends $400 million in 2020, sinks a fortune beyond what you or I will ever see to ensure Democrats can cheat and steal the White House from President Donald Trump. About 15 minutes ago, he left Mar-a-Lago because he went down there and wants to be part of Trump's team. I want to be part of, what did they say? America's renewal. Everywhere you will see now, communist after communist after communist after communist acting as if, hey, I'm on your team. Hey, all right, I saw the error in my ways. I made an oopsie. It was a little boo-boo, and now I want to get along. Shouldn't we get along? Don't you want to get along? You want to be at peace, right? And you have got to fight against that human instinct of yours to go along with it. They didn't mismanage a thing. We shared and still share a country with people trying to destroy it. Every chance they get, they will try to destroy it. And when they have the power, they will light everything on fire. And when the power is taken from them, they will look to you and say, man, I can't believe these fires got started. Oh, maybe that was kind of us, but it was an accident. Hey, shouldn't we get along? Let's get these fires put out. You have got to resist. They're not going to stop. Democrat-run Denver, they paid $350 million to illegals. Did you know that? $350 million. Did you know that the Roosevelt Hotel in New York City, the Roosevelt Hotel, Pakistani-owned, has taken in millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars of your money to put illegals up there? You'll probably never be able to afford to stay in the Roosevelt Hotel. And even if you could, you probably wouldn't want to now. But millions of your dollars were spent to bring these people in and put them up. Did you know that 180,000 people over the course of a year were deemed to be such a risk, so dangerous, so criminal, they should have immediately been deported and sent away? Instead, they were released. Those 180,000 people, they're not sitting in a cage. They're not back in Venezuela. They bought a burrito next to you this morning in the gas station. They're driving by the school where your daughter attends as we speak. And none of this was mismanaged. None of this was an accident, a whoopsie. I can't believe we did this. Oh no, I spilled my milk. These people brought every person into this country they possibly could the second they had the slightest bit of power. And some of them went on record, on camera, trying to enlist them in the military.
Do you know what the recruiting numbers are at the Army and the Navy and the Air Force? They can't reach their quotas each month. They can't find enough people to join our military forces. And there are those who are undocumented who want the chance to serve and risk their lives for this country. Should we give them the chance? I think we should.
Do not forget. And when Democrats like Kathy Hochul get up now, and they start talking pretty tough into the camera. Well, I mean, I really think we should deport the criminals. Keep in mind, Kathy Hochul applauded, facilitated, and used your money to pay for bringing in as many illegals as she possibly could. She changes her tune now, though, doesn't she?
We need to fix the border, fix the system. But I'll tell you this. Those who come here legally, we want to get them jobs. I have 460,000 open jobs in the state of New York. I want them to get the proper work permits. I want them to keep their temporary protective status, if that's what they have. I want to make sure that they're part of contributing to society while they're here. That's separate from people who are criminals. Someone breaks the law, I'll be the first one to call up ICE and say, get them out of here. So there is a difference in categories of individuals.
This is what they're going to do now. And it's, again, this was not actually a segment about the border. That was just an example I used. They are going to do this on issue after issue after issue after issue. Shouldn't we get along? Don't you want to get along? Let's tone down the rhetoric. Hey, let's calm things down. Hey, we can meet in the middle, surely. You had better remember the demons are still demons. Now they just come to you with a hand out instead of a raised fist because you took their power away from them. Do not forget who they are, what they want, and what they've done to this country. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have the great Senator Rand Paul joining us. I don't even know if I'm going to talk to Rand Paul, and it's not because I don't like him. I love Rand Paul because there are spending bills coming in the Senate, and I'm pretty sure they're going to want to make you and I go jump off a bridge. Either way, let's talk to the good senator in a moment. Before we do that, let's save a life really quickly. Speaking of demonic, these people also slaughter babies as fast as they possibly can. You realize these people, as soon as Roe versus Wade got overturned, started telling American women they should come to the blue states so they can abort their babies. They set up an abortion clinic at the Democrat convention to murder babies there. How do we fight against that kind of evil? Organizations like Preborn. Preborn leads the charge. They set up these pro-life centers that give women free ultrasounds. If she's about to have an abortion, she can come into Preborn and get a free ultrasound. And whenever they do, they choose life almost every time. You know, Preborn saves 200 lives a day. Today, 200 people will live because of what you do for Preborn. You know that? $28 is what that ultrasound costs. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's not all Christmas cheer now, is it? Because as we speak, as you're watching me speak to you on camera, the United States Senate is plotting to bloodsuck more of the money out of your wallet and hand it to all of their friends. That's what they do. Chuck Schumer's already come out and said he's pretty confident they're going to get one of these big old fat spending bills done just in time for Christmas. So sorry you can't afford extra gifts under the tree this year. The United States Senate will ensure that they are well taken care of themselves. One of the few people who actually fights back against this nonsense joins us now, Senator Rand Paul, great senator from the state of Kentucky. Okay, Senator, exactly how bad is the bill going to be? We all know it's coming.
Well, you know, we spend and borrow millions of dollars every minute, and it gets worse as we speak. Interest payments now are nearly $1 trillion. Interest payments are the largest item in the budget now. So, you know, it's in a death spiral. And it's being led by mandatory spending, the entitlements, and yet both parties seem oblivious to wanting to do anything about the entitlements. We can't keep spending this way. And I, for one, would say, you know, we have to have a dramatic change. We have to look at all of the entitlements. We've got to look at all the spending. We frankly have to look at military spending. I just came from a meeting where the Republicans are plotting to use what's called reconciliation next year when we have the House, the Senate, and the presidency, but they're going to use it to explode the military caps and spend beyond the military caps and make the military spending mandatory, not discretionary. That's their first bill. That's their first plan, is to exceed the spending caps. And it's like, what a mixed message. We have all these great things we're hearing from Elon Musk and from Vivek Ramaswamy about cutting spending, all for that, cutting waste. That's a great message, and it's resonating with conservatives. And yet what you're hearing from the leadership on Capitol Hill is, how can we use reconciliation, simple majority vote, how can we use it to spend more money? So I'm fed up with it, and I will speak out. I spoke out of my caucus today and said, I will not support this unless there's significant spending reductions. You know, if you want to have some money for the border, want more money for the military, you're going to have to cut more than you give. Where I'm not just going to vote to allocate more money.
Senator, I'm glad you spoke up, and I'm not at all surprised that we have these people like Thune who would want to do something like this, but how outnumbered are you? I know there aren't many we can count on in the United States Senate. There are the Lees and the Cruises and people like that, but how outnumbered are you? When you talk to your fellow GOP senators, is there any appetite for cuts anywhere, ever?
It's interesting what the take is. I was told that it wasn't the right time. You know, the right time will come, but just now's not the time. We shouldn't be taking hostages. And so I stood up, and the senator who said this was well-intentioned, but I said, no, we absolutely should take hostages. All it takes is me and three other senators to say we won't vote for it, and it will not pass unless you cut spending. So that's my plan right now, is to say, I'm a no. And three, if I can get three other people to be a no, it doesn't mean I'm a permanent no. It means I'm a no until you cut spending in addition to the things you want. And I've been consistent in this, whether it's been, you know, perpetual medical treatment for people from 9/11 for 75 years into the future, I've always asked that it be paid for. I do it every time, no matter how emotional the issue is, no matter how many people want it. I say, if you want this new spending, you got to pay for it by taking away spending that is in a category that you deem to be less important.
Senator, I asked Senator Marsha Blackburn this one time. I'm going to ask you the same question. These things you lay out, they're math, right? It's not an argument about what a border policy should be. It's basic math. Even a moron like me can understand a pie chart that shows the budget and the interest. We are facing a debt crisis that is inevitable. Do they not know, or do they not care? I, as much as I think a lot of these senators are morons, I know they can do basic math. Do they not know, or do they not care?
Well, you know, I just finished reading Elon Musk's biography. Walter Isaacson wrote a biography, and throughout it, Elon Musk comes into his businesses and slashes and cuts and tells them, come back, you got to make it cheaper. A part's made by NASA for $1 million. He says, bring the engineers together, we'll make it for $20,000. That's what needs to be done in government. So while I'm all for sending the people back who came into our country illegally, I would send them back at the river. I would not let them cross. I would take them right back across. But I'd do it with the people we have. We have 35,000 people at the FBI. Put them to work. They're behind desks. They're doing stuff like controlling our speech. Put them on the border. Put them to work. They hired all these IRS agents. Put them to work seeking out people who broke into the country illegally. We have all kinds of employees that could be doing stuff, and instead, they just want to add more money, add more people, do things that... So there's a lot of things that can be done with the existing folks there, but we don't need to expand government in the process.
Let's talk about these confirmations. Obviously, one already went down in flames, but now we have some big ones, some really important ones as we try to get some reformers through here. People like Kash Patel, Pete Hegseth, and others. Are you gauging the temperature in the room, and what is your temperature on these nominations? Do you think we're good? Are we in serious trouble?
You know, when you look at the abuses at the FBI, it's going to take someone like Kash Patel, a disruptor, to go in there and clean house. And I think what we need to keep reminding the crazy people on the Trump-deranged left is that we're not going in there to take over the FBI to go after our enemies. We're going to remove the people who use the FBI to go after their enemies. It isn't that we're going to do what they did. We're going to take out people who've been partisan and have been working at using their job, using their position of influence to target ministers, pro-life people, pro-free speech people, people like me who say masks don't work. Those people all need to go. The people who concocted the Russian hoax, all of that stuff, those people need to go. The people like Peter Strzok who are saying, we need an insurance policy to make sure Donald Trump is never president. What did they do with him? They gave him $3 million. They said he was wrongfully fired and gave him $3 million in severance. So, yeah, the whole place stinks to high heaven. It needs to be cleaned out. I think Kash Patel's the person to do it. I'm a big fan of Tulsi Gabbard. I think the intelligence agencies have been used domestically against us. They've been abused. I don't think FISA should be used to search Americans. I think it's a great abuse of this power. So I'd like Tulsi Gabbard. I think that the HHS has taken our money. Some of it they've sent to China, but much of it they're still hiding from me. What kind of gain of function or dangerous research is going on? I think Robert Kennedy will be great to clean house over there. So I'm excited about those three picks in particular, and we'll work very hard to get them through. But realize there's a lot of weak-kneed Republicans who stand in the way, and those weak-kneed Republicans are going to need people in your audience to be calling them, writing them, hounding them online, and I mean in a political way, not in a personal way. But we need to be putting pressure on these Republicans to get through some of these picks who are, frankly, disruptors, but it's a disruption that's necessary.
What do we make of the health picks overall? Like you said, I like RFK, I like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, Marty, and others, but then we have this Surgeon General pick that I don't know if we could have found anybody worse for this. It's a real mixed message that I'm getting. It's a real mixed bag. Overall, I'm pretty happy, but man, there are some stinkers in there, Senator.
Yeah, I would like to say something good about Jay Bhattacharya and also Marty McCary. Incredible picks. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing about this is we're going from Anthony Fauci, who was a terrible influence on government for 40 years, and we're going away from that to somebody who he actually tried to take down. He said of Jay Bhattacharya, he was going to use all the powers he had in government to do a takedown. Jay Bhattacharya is a professor with a resume that basically could be compared to any of our leading scientists in the country, and yet Anthony Fauci wanted to try to use his position of authority to take him down. So Jay Bhattacharya is going to be a breath of fresh air. I'm still looking for records on from the government on the dangerous research that's going on. Apparently they're collecting it and still not sharing it with me. We know it's being collected throughout government, and I'm going to get my hands on it. But I feel certain with Jay Bhattacharya, Marty McCary, and Robert Kennedy that I think there's going to be a great deal of sunlight cast on government.
Speaking of Anthony Fauci, the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic released a final report, and it was pretty revealing for everybody who hasn't been paying attention to you or me, to be honest with you, for the last few years. We figured out our entire government is corrupt. We screwed the whole thing up. They tried to screw over people like Dr. J, like you just said. The question is now, Senator, is there any mechanism, anything we can do to hold these people to account? There has to be some sort of a reckoning, or all these scumbags are going to do what they did next time, the first chance they get.
You know, we've discovered that the government is still funding Anthony Fauci. He's retired, and yet the government spent $15 million on him last year, providing him with an armed security detail and a limo driver. So he's working at Georgetown, supposedly. Who knows how much they're paying him? Maybe $1 million. We know he got $1 million from a private foundation, but he has all of this money and this great personal wealth, and we're ferrying him around in a limo driver with armed security. It's treatment we give to former presidents. We're treating him like a former president, which is crazy and obscene. Hopefully, the Trump administration will stop that on day one. But I also will send to the new attorney general a criminal referral. We sent it twice to Merrick Garland. In that criminal referral, we recount his testimony, but then we also juxtapose his private emails with his testimony. So we accuse him of lying to Congress based on evidence from his own emails. We don't have me accusing him of lying. We have Anthony Fauci corroborating that he lied by his private emails contradicting his public testimony. We will send those again. But I think most important, if we don't ever get to a criminal prosecution, even more important is that history examines and history rewards and puts him in a pile of malefactors who basically were responsible in many ways for the pandemic. So I think he will go down in history as a great advocate of this dangerous research called gain of function. He ignored and evaded all the safety protocols. There was a committee set up to study dangerous research, gain of function research. He went around that committee and exempted the research so it didn't have to be reviewed. And then when we ask him for the deliberations about why it wasn't dangerous, he then has hidden that for years, and his cronies have been hiding that for years. We're going to get to the bottom of it, and I think ultimately history is going to judge him harshly as someone who made a very, very dangerous and wrong-headed decision, and that was that the knowledge that you gain from gain of function was more important than the risk. And I think without question, after 15 million people died from COVID, that the risk of this type of research was not worth the knowledge that was gained.
Senator, I appreciate you. Come back soon. All right. Brianna Morello has a lot to say about this House COVID report. Frankly, she has a lot to say about a lot of things, and that's what we love about her. So we're going to go talk to her about that in a moment. Before we go talk to her, let me talk to you about chalk. You're out there looking for a Christmas gift? Why don't you get yourself one? Maybe your wife, maybe your husband. Why don't you get them something from chalk? A chalk subscription. Everyone has these subscription services out there. Hey, subscribe to my magazine or hot sauce of the month. Not that I don't support that. But when you go get natural herbal supplements from chalk, your entire life gets better. You're so full of energy. No more afternoon cups of coffee needed. No more running out of gas at 3. I need a nap. Your mind, your body, everything feels good. I take a male vitality stack every day from chalk. Took it again today. Ate my breakfast. Eggs, sausage, male vitality stack every single day. They have female vitality stacks for the ladies. Chalk lip powder. Start your day with vitamins and minerals. Make your life better. Huge discounts. It's Christmas season. Chalk.com/JesseTV. Go. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be right back.
My name is Jennifer, and I got vaccinated to risk less so that I can do more this winter. I am looking forward to baking because I love to give cookies and brownies as gifts. My son just asked me if we can bake traditional holiday cookies with frosting and sprinkles, and we're going ice skating, and we have all kinds of plans. I got the season's vaccines, and you can too.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about how gross that woman's cookies are. You know they're disgusting. I bet she even obeys the recipe, doesn't add any extra butter. I bet they're freaking foul. Joining me now, I wonder if Brianna can make cookies. Brianna Morello, host of the Brianna Morello Show. Okay, Brianna, first of all, do you make cookies? Are you an oatmeal raisin girl? What's the deal?
I don't make cookies, no. I'm strict carnivore these days. But Jesse, I'm a little upset because you're kind of stepping onto my turf these days with all these cooking videos you're posting, and you didn't ask. This is my turf.
You know, Brianna, I'm going to venture a guess that people will enjoy yours considerably more than they enjoy watching bald old Jesse make Kraft mac and cheese. We'll just call that a guess. But for now, let's talk about things like RFK Jr. RFK Jr., if they actually let him through the Senate, which is a big fat if with a capital I, what can we expect?
Well, we could expect videos like that to probably stop at this point. The propaganda machine is going to be defunded, we hope, because enough is enough. I mean, like you said, that woman probably makes the worst cookies, probably oatmeal with extra raisins at this point. I really hate raisins, so no thank you. But I am very excited. You know, if he gets in, this will be massive. He needs to fire all of these individuals who've been pushing this propaganda for far too long. The fact that they're still putting out things like that, messages like that, tell you everything you need to know. HHS and all these other three-letter agencies need to be completely gutted down, and RFK is the perfect person to do just that. So we hope that he does get through the Senate, and if he doesn't, we'll find another way to get him in.
Brianna, the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic released a final report yesterday, and because you're a gigantic nerd, you read the entire thing. None of the rest of us did. What's in it?
Well, Jesse, I have nothing but time on my hands these days when I'm not, you know, doing my carnivore cooking. And this report, it's everything we've been talking about for the last 5 years, right? Surprise, surprise, COVID was actually, it didn't come from a meat market. It actually came from a lab in Wuhan. I'm breaking that story on your show right now. I know no one knew that. It's not a conspiracy. And that's really what the report comes down to. They detail how this virus did, in fact, come from the Wuhan lab. They also detail how Dr. Anthony Fauci, they believe, kind of hindered their investigation. But the big bomb that dropped, and I don't think many people know this, but EcoHealth Alliance is detailed in this report. And more specifically, EcoHealth Alliance, and we don't know where it is right now, like the status of this investigation, but they are actually on the other side of a DOJ criminal grand jury investigation. So we know that all the key players at EcoHealth Alliance were forced to hand over their communications to the DOJ. We don't know when this started. We don't know exactly where it even falls right now. I've actually called the chairman, Brad Wenstrub, and I've asked their office specifically about where this falls. He doesn't even know. The DOJ is not even speaking about it. So this could be ongoing. We don't know. But EcoHealth Alliance is or was under investigation for the taxpayer money that they received and their communications with that Wuhan lab. And that's the real interesting part in all of this. The person whose job at the Wuhan lab to kind of create these viruses, she's also listed in this report as well, and it listed in that DOJ investigation. So it's something that might get turned over to the Trump DOJ if it's still ongoing, but we just don't know.
Speaking of coronavirus tyranny, I've been very, very thrilled with so many of Trump's picks, pleasantly surprised at the reformers he's been putting up. But every now and then he puts up somebody and I have no earthly idea where the idea even came from. In fact, it's horrific. His guy, Chad Cronister, Sheriff Chad Cronister, who's supposed to be the head of the DEA, is a world-class piece of crap and should never see power of any kind anywhere. What do you know about this guy?
Oh, it's really bad. This person, if you're a fan of like DEI hiring practices, your sheriff hanging out at the LGBT, whatever gatherings these days, or having pastors arrested, this is your guy. That's exactly what his resume actually says. So like I said, during the COVID pandemic, he did have a pastor arrested. Now that pastor is saying, oh, I've forgiven him, but that's not the point. The point is that he went out there, had a pastor arrested for holding service, and then touted it like he was doing some reckless deed. It's insane. Obviously, there was a lot of backlash due to all of that. So he's apologized. They've become friends again. So they're all like back to being normal. But you don't want someone to cross that line. The red line that I'm referring to is the U.S. Constitution. Okay, he had no right to do this as sheriff. I don't care what order existed at the time. Not going to overturn the Constitution just because you're a little afraid of an unknown virus that's going around. So that's the big point to all of this. He also, and this is the even, I guess, sadder part to all of this, he also emptied out his jail. Now, he said it was nonviolent offenders, but ultimately what happened was an individual who's being held in that jail went on to actually committing murder after he was released. Now, he allegedly did murder a suspect and had to be, you know, obviously brought back into the jail. But he doesn't talk about any of this. He ignores it all. Now, again, like I mentioned earlier, he's a fan of the LGBTQ parades. He actually has his deputies go and he attends himself and walks in them. And then he also has DEI hiring events. So his focus, he told the local media there, was that diversity is like super important to him right now. And he's really trying to gear up his sheriff deputies for that. And so that's what he was looking to hire. Yeah. So he's pretty bad all around. Oh, and he's an Obama donor. I almost forgot that one. $15,000 to Obama. Big one.
What is Trump thinking with some of the... I'll never get it. Rihanna, I gotta go. You're the best.
Thank you.
All right. Let's do a little foreign policy. Should we care? Is it important what's happening in Syria? We have these rebels here and terrorists here. Apparently terrorists on every side. And it's Russia and blah, blah, blah. Does that matter? Are we going to kill some people in Hamas because they have our hostages? I don't know. Let's talk to Lee Smith about that next. Before we talk to Lee Smith, let me talk to you about Christmas season and getting a new phone for yourself, your kid, your mom, your wife, your husband. Pure Talk is here. You don't need Verizon. You don't need AT&T. You don't need T-Mobile. You don't need to pay those prices. I pay half of what I used to pay. Family of four lines, my bill got cut in half when I switched to Pure Talk. Pure Talk shares my values. They promote my values. They're not out there doing DEI filth. And they have all the newest stuff, newest phones, Androids, whatever you're looking for. Go sign up for Pure Talk. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. Oh, and did I mention? They hire Americans. When you speak to someone there, they speak English. How unique is that these days? PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are told that when Trudeau told President-elect Trump that new tariffs would kill the Canadian economy, Trump joked to him that if Canada can't survive without ripping off the U.S. to the tune of $100 billion a year, then maybe Canada should become the 51st state and Trudeau could become its governor.
Joining me now, my friend Lee Smith, author of the book you really need to dig into, Disappearing the President. Lee, it feels great having a president back in office. who actually loves the country. It's just, honestly, I hate that that's where we're at. It's like a load off. Not that Trump is perfect, far from it, but at least he loves the freaking place.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure he was joking. He may have laughed when he said that to Trudeau, but how do we know he was joking? So look, I mean, of course, we're not going to invade Canada, but that's how you stand up for Americans, saying you've been ripping us off, and then you make sure that the press covers it, and make sure that everyone knows that the president-elect right now is defending the interests of Americans and is willing to go hard on even our closest trading partners, our closest allies for years, whether that's Canada or Mexico. The president-elect is going to protect Americans. And I have to say, I mean, it's great to be back to normal like that, but I think that President-elect Trump is far ahead of where he was in 2016 at this point.
Yeah, he certainly does seem to be a lot more prepared for things. He also put something out yesterday, which I loved. He put something out online. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but threatening everybody about our hostages, which are still being held by Hamas, and just said, you better release them, and they better be released by the time I take office, or there's going to be all hell to pay. Lee, this used to be the norm. Democrat, Republican, presidents of the United States of America, they would publicly declare American citizens were safe abroad from other nations, from terrorist groups. And I don't know how we got away from that, but it sure is nice. That looks like it's coming back.
I mean, he underscored what is a tremendous scandal, which, of course, the press has buried since October 7th, 2023, but that a terror group backed by the Islamic Republic of Iran that has a history of taking Americans hostage, has a history of killing Americans, had killed Americans on October 7th, 2023, and took dozens of Americans hostage, and is still holding living Americans and is holding the bodies of Americans. It's disgusting and repulsive. And of course, regular Americans, ordinary Americans have rightly expressed outrage at this. But finally, there's a president who reflects the feelings of normal Americans, as if you don't give us our people back, you're going to pay a very hard price.
Lee, where are we in that whole thing? It's one thing to put something out on social media, not that Trump just would blow off about such a thing, but it's one thing to say something, it's another thing to actually wrap it up. Where is Israel in wrapping all this up? Are they mired in a 10-year-long slog? Are they putting the crosses on the T's and dots on the I's? Where are they?
Well, no, I mean, one of the things, again, that we've seen here since October 8th, 2023, is that the Biden administration has deterred Israel from finishing the job. You know, Trump let on during the campaign that when he was speaking with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he said, yeah, you got to go ahead and you got to finish the job. You got to go ahead and get it wrapped up. Right. But what happened was the Biden team withholding munitions from Israel, they slowed them down. They wanted to let Hamas survive. And you've seen that this ceasefire deal between Israel and, they say, Lebanon, but Hezbollah is Lebanon. So a ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah has also let another Iranian proxy off the hook. That's not where Donald Trump is. So presumably the idea is, and again, remember that for the last couple of weeks, as everyone's been talking about how Donald Trump wants this war completed by his inauguration, everyone thought, oh, what that means is he's going to put pressure on Netanyahu. Well, as that Truth Social post showed yesterday, no, he's putting pressure on the Palestinians. He's putting pressure on Hamas. Give us our people back, and you stand down immediately, or you're in big trouble. So I think, yeah, we are looking at an end to conflict, this particular conflict right now in the Middle East. But it's not because Donald Trump is telling Israel, a traditional American ally, to stand down. It's because he's willing to back American allies who need to get the job done and destroy adversaries, not only of Israel, but also of the United States.
Lee, what's going on in Syria? Should I care? Does it matter to me?
Yeah, it's important for a number of different reasons. One of the reasons that it's very important is because this whole setup, what you see here between this particular Kurdish group and these particular outfits aligned with the Assad forces and the Islam, again, Iran, this whole thing was set up by Barack Obama. So no, I don't think that the United States should be playing an active role in this. But while you see a lot of people saying, well, there are, you know, no good guys on either side, that's true. But foreign policy isn't about good guys, right? We have allies. Most of our allies are good guys. But you don't have to have good guys involved to see that the American interest is better if Assad forces lose. But I'm not sure that we're even there right now at this point. I think that this is a strategic maneuver by the Turks, and I don't think it's the end of the Assad regime, as a lot of people are saying. And it's important to remember the Turks are a NATO member. They're an American ally. They're a very problematic American ally, but they are an American ally. And remember what Obama did here with this group aligned with this Kurd group. It's, again, there's so many different Kurdish factions. This particular Kurdish faction, it's a terror organization, the PKK. So what Barack Obama did was he enhanced the power of a Kurdish terror group while also putting Russia on NATO's southern border, right? Meaning Turkey. That's what Barack Obama did. He encouraged the Russians to go into Syria. So a lot of this right now, we're seeing Obama's compact in the Middle East falling apart. And it's a very good thing for it to be happening. And it will depend on Donald Trump to manage that outcome, to manage the fallout to the advantage of the United States. And I'm confident that he can, and that he's surrounding himself with very decent advisors who understand what's happening in the region.
Lee, my brother, thank you, as always. All right, we have Light in the Mood next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah.
America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And look, I had some things to say about broccoli on my radio show, and I don't apologize for any of them. And you broccoli lovers can just sit there and take it.
The wife was trying to get us all to eat broccoli a couple days ago, because she's always trying to be healthy and things like that. She was trying to get us all to eat broccoli. So she did what many people do and made this big broccoli casserole. And she threw so much crap in there. It was just cheese and crumbs. And I mean, you know what broccoli casserole is. Everyone's seen broccoli casserole. And yeah, it was still gross, but that wasn't her fault. She knew broccoli is disgusting. It's foul. It's barely even edible. And so I have to throw a bunch of great things in there because broccoli needs help. Broccoli is special needs. The cheeseburger is a genius. The broccoli needs an extra tutor, a helping hand, because it's disgusting. A cheeseburger doesn't need any of those things.
Nailed it. You want to see more shorts like that? We put them up all the time on my YouTube channel. Go subscribe. It's free. YouTube.com/@JesseKellyDC. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.